can quote King James until you bleed. I just sound like other languages to me.
This is Pastor Brad Bristow welcoming you to the Cornerstone Church Airdrie Audio Podcast. Thank you so much for joining with us today. Each week, we aim to have the recorded audio from our sermons uploaded to our podcast. Along with these sermons, we'll also from time to time have other audio content, things like a prophetic word from a service, a midweek teaching, or something else like an interview or some other content. If you're new to Cornerstone Church, you can connect with us on social media. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CSAirdrie on Twitter and at cornerstoneairdrie on Instagram. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast through iTunes. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or follow the prompts on our website. And you can visit us on our website to find out more about who we are and about all of the things that are happening at Cornerstone Airdrie by going to www.cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. We believe that the God who spoke so clearly in the pages of Scripture continues to speak to His kids today. So as you listen, I pray that the Holy Spirit would be speaking to you. God bless you as you listen. One of the things that can be dangerous in our walk with the Lord, some of the things that can cause issues and can cause problems in our walk with the Lord and can cause issues and problems in others' walk with the Lord through our walk with the Lord is occasionally the terminology that we use. Some of the things that we say, some of the things that we know what we mean when we say them, and so we say them because they sound good, they sound right, and if you understand them in a certain context, it makes perfect sense. But if you don't understand them in that context, if you don't understand them in this context of this is specifically what I mean, sometimes these things can be dangerous, and they can even cause us to think dangerously if we take these things at face value. An example that I'll give you that's not totally random, because it is really what we're talking about today, but have you heard someone say, perhaps you have said in your own life, that the Bible is a handbook for life, that the Bible is God's instruction manual? If you got any questions, read the owner's manual, read the instruction manual, just turn to the pages of Scripture and you will know and understand that it referred to the Bible as an owner's manual or a life guide. But I'm here to tell you this morning, the Bible is not an owner's manual. The Bible is not just a life guide. I know that may sound heretical. You may be thinking, oh, where are we headed here? But if you trust me and you believe me, give me the next 25 minutes or so and you'll understand what it is that I'm talking about. That when we talk about how we need to look and view Scripture through the lens of this series of looking at the Holy Spirit. What I mean is this, you can't just open the Bible randomly to a passage and read a passage or a commandment and just simply apply that text or a guideline for the entirety of Scripture or for your life. And when we refer to the Bible as an owner's manual or a handbook for life, that sometimes this is what we can fall into the trap of doing. Like I say, I know this may seem heretical, but just trust me on this. Just because a phrase occurs in the Bible, or just because the Bible says something in one place, doesn't mean that that's the definitive statement on that whole thing. What I mean is this. Here's an example for you. A friend of mine, one time, posted a Bible verse onto his Facebook page. All well and good, but as I'm sure many of us know, posting anything on Facebook has the potential to be controversial. Posting anything on Facebook has the potential for somebody to come back and say, actually, here's my thoughts on this. So he posted a Bible verse on Facebook, and I'm sure someone who is a really nice and wonderful person just responded with a quote from Scripture. And he had responded with this, Leviticus 25:44. For as for your male and female slaves who you have, you may buy male and female slaves from among the nations that are around you. The idea being, of course, oh, that's nice that you posted this nice Bible verse. It's nice that you believe in God. Did you know that God endorses slavery? That if you're going to believe in the Word of God, look at what the Word of God says. It says in black and white, you can buy slaves. You still so sure you believe in God? And the reality is, if you were just to look at a select number of verses in a select number of places, you will discover that, yes, the Bible does endorse slavery. If you choose to take a look at very specific verses in very specific contexts without looking at the entirety, God does give instructions on exactly how we should and shouldn't buy slaves. But no, in fact, if you were to look at the entirety of Scripture and look at what the Bible has to say, you discover that it's not that the Bible endorses slavery. It's not that the Bible says that's okay. That the Bible, in fact, will come to a place where we discover that we should not treat our brothers and sisters like that, that we are all equal in Christ. What I mean by that, and this is what I mean by saying the Bible isn't simply an owner's manual when you can just see what it says about something. If you just take what the Bible says and just want to take it out of context, Proverbs 14:1 tells us in black and white terms, without any confusion, without having to rearrange any words, anything, it tells us there is no God. In Proverbs 14:1. That settles that. You can look it up if you'd like to. In fact, I'd invite you to go right ahead and look that up, and you'll see why. But if we just want to take a snippet of Scripture and point to something and say, well, Scripture says, we have to be careful about how we do that. Because the Bible is a narrative. It's the story of God reconciling his creation back to him. It's the story of law, of the law and sin. And it's the story of grace and forgiveness and how God brings grace and forgiveness into law and sin. How God makes a way where there is no way. If you've looked at Proverbs 14:1, what you may discover is that it says, a fool says in their heart, there is no God. Is it not Proverbs 14:1? Oh, well, I thought it was Proverbs 14:1. A fool says in their heart, there is no God. But in black and white terms, it says there is no God if you take it out of context. If you take it out of what the Bible actually says, you can find where it says things like that. But just to look at one passage, one verse, and say, there, that's what the Bible teaches about this, or on something, once and for all, for me and for everyone, can be dangerous. The Bible is not just merely a step-by-step guide to how to live your life. It's not just, sorry? Oh, Psalms 14:1, sorry, one book earlier, Psalms 14:1. A fool says in their heart, there is no God. When you have a huge life decision to make, you don't want to just turn to Scripture and find a verse that seems applicable. That's not how we operate with Scripture. That's not how we should operate with Scripture. At times, it can be how we operate with Scripture. But there's something deeper that needs to take place in our lives in the way that we relate to Scripture and in the way that we use Scripture. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. I'll give you an example of what I mean, of what I'm talking about. A few years ago, many years ago now, I suppose, Yvonne and I were presented with the opportunity to plant a church in Red Deer, on the campus of Red Deer College. And we had been given this opportunity and asked if we would consider doing this. And we really wrestled with, what's the right thing to do? What should we do? Do we go? Do we move to Red Deer and plant a church? Do we not? Do we say, what's God's will for our life? And we were at a pastor's retreat, and a friend of mine who is a pastor came to me, and he discovered that we were wrestling with this, and he said to me, and he quoted Scripture directly to me, and he said, well, you know, Scripture will say that everywhere you put your foot, God will give you the land, that land. And the Bible does say that. In fact, the Bible says that in many places. But the Bible also said, if you stay in the land, I'll bless you. So do I go because Scripture says, God says, wherever I go, he'll give me that land? Or do I stay where I am because Scripture says, remain in the land and I will build you up and not pull you down? What do I do? We can't just look and say, oh, well, the Bible says this. Because the Bible can say a whole lot of things that it doesn't mean to say if we don't handle the word of truth properly. The English Standard Version, which is what we use on Sunday mornings, has 757,439 words in it. I counted them all this week. No, Google is helpful for those kinds of things. But just because the Bible says it, wherever you go, that's the land I'll give you, doesn't mean that that's a promise God is giving me right now in this time for this situation. It just means the Bible says that. And because the Bible says, if you stay in this land, I'll bless you, doesn't mean that that's what Scripture is saying for me in this moment right now. It just means that the Bible says that. And that's what the second to last thing we're going to be looking at in this series. Next week, we're going to bring all of this discussion on the Holy Spirit, all of this discussion of what it means to have the Holy Spirit in our lives to a close. But for this week, what we're going to be talking about is how the Holy Spirit works through the Word of God, how the Holy Spirit speaks to us and illuminates the Word of God for us. As we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the Illuminator. In a scripture that we've referenced earlier in this series, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and if you've got your Bibles, that's where you can turn to this morning, we see that Paul expands on this idea of what it is that the Holy Spirit being our illuminator means. Paul will talk about this, what it means that we've got the Holy Spirit to show us things, to teach us things, to give us insight into what it means to serve God and into what it means to be his child, into what it means to have him show us what is going on. Did I say 2 Corinthians? I meant 1 Corinthians, sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There you go. So we've got him on the overhead. So while you're looking, you can follow along. It's either 1 or 2 Corinthians. I don't know. It's not the same in my notes as it is in my... It's 1 Corinthians. I thought it was 1 Corinthians. Yet among the mature, we do impart wisdom, although it's not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away. But we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? Also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. And we impart this wisdom not taught by man or by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. Paul will say, there's this understanding that the world has. There's this understanding that the smartest, the biggest, the most respected minds of this world has. But there's also this other wisdom, a wisdom that's been given to us by God from before time even began. And the wisest of this world are going to look at that wisdom and say, that's foolishness. That's stupid. That doesn't make sense. You know that can't possibly be true. But Paul will say, this wisdom that God gave us before time, that the wisest minds of today would look at and say, that's stupid. That wisdom is going to continue on long after these smartest people of today are dead. But he will say, we don't get this wisdom because of something in us. We don't learn this wisdom because we're so smart and we're so great and we're so righteous and we just can figure it all out. We earn this wisdom, or we get this wisdom, because the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, deposits it in our lives. That we understand these things not because we figured them out, but because we've been given to them by the Spirit of God, who searches and understands and knows God and deposits these things into our lives. That there's this whole other standing of the world that we are given, and the only way that we're given it is through the Holy Spirit. And even at times, this knowledge may look foolish. But Paul will say in there, and this really gets at the heart of what I'm talking about, Paul will say that the Holy Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. Now, what does it mean that the Holy Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God? Typically, when we use the word search, we would use it to reference trying to find something. That if I'm searching for something, I'm trying to locate that thing which I don't know. When it comes time to leave the house, I have to search for my keys. Because it's time to go and I don't know where they are. Every time we try to leave the house, I try to search for my keys and I don't know where they are. And I have to search and I've got to locate and find this wisdom that I don't have because I don't know where my keys are. And I need them and I need them now. And then I ask Yvonne and she knows. But this can't be what the Holy Spirit is talking about here. Or this can't be what Paul is talking about the Holy Spirit here. That the Holy Spirit, there's somehow this knowledge that God possesses that the Holy Spirit doesn't. That God knows these things and the Holy Spirit doesn't. So the Holy Spirit has to search and search to try and figure out what it is that God knows that the Holy Spirit doesn't. That can't be what Paul's talking about here because we know that the Holy Spirit is God. If we think that God knows things the Holy Spirit doesn't, the Trinity doctrine begins to crumble pretty quickly, and we know and believe that the Holy Spirit and God are one. And so it's not that God knows something the Holy Spirit doesn't, and the Holy Spirit's got to figure out a way to understand God. What Paul is talking about is not the Holy Spirit searching out something he doesn't know, but rather the Holy Spirit searches out the depths of God for something that we need to know. That the Holy Spirit works on our behalf to help us understand and see it takes the things we don't know and gets the answers for that. The Holy Spirit acts like a searchlight or a spotlight and shines on the text of Scripture when we read it. That as we go into the Bible and we are looking for something and we're saying, God, inside of your word, I know the answer to what I'm facing is inside your word. God, would you show me where it is? It's the Holy Spirit that searches out and shines a light on what we need to know from the Lord, giving us the ability to take something that was decidedly not written to us, about us, or for us, and take that and see the understanding and the meaning of it towards our life. Every person that has been a Christian for a while has had this experience, has had this understanding where we're reading through Scripture and suddenly something jumps off the page at you. You're reading through Scripture, you're reading a story, you're reading a poem, you're reading a prophecy, you're reading something, and suddenly your heart skips a beat. There's a moment where this phrase, this verse, this passage screams at you, and you realize, even though this wasn't written to me, for me, or about me, this was written to me. And there is this moment of understanding where it's like, there is something happening in the reading of God's word that is showing me something that I didn't know, something that I needed to hear, something where it takes this conversation between two people from 7,000 years ago and suddenly they're speaking right to me. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, our illuminator. It's the difference between my pastor friend saying, well, you know, the Bible says, wherever you put your foot, God will give you that land. And the moment when the Holy Spirit gives you a connection to Scripture and shows you, this is the verse that I have for you in this moment. It's not about finding a verse that says something. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit when they say something. If we went around the room, many of us could give these kinds of stories, where moments in your life, or perhaps the entirety of your life, is shaped by the Holy Spirit illuminating Scripture for us. Some really familiar scriptures where perhaps some of us would say, oh, God also gave me that scripture. That verse God also gave to me, and here's how that verse was used to shape my life. Or perhaps for some of us, there might be really strange and obscure scriptures where we would say, God gave you that? All right. I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about. I was listening to a pastor talk about his testimony. Many of you might know R.C. Sproul. He's a pastor. And he was giving his testimony about how he came to know the Lord. And he began to tell this story about the moment when he came to Christ. He was in college at the time, and he was talking with a friend who was a believer, and his friend was sharing him all about Jesus, and his friend was sharing with him his life and his story and his testimony, and he would say, none of it was really grabbing on to me. I thought, well, that's all well and good for you, but what does it mean? And as his friend was telling him about the Bible and God and reading him scriptures, one of the scriptures that he read was from the book of Ecclesiastes, and he read chapter 11, verse 3 of Ecclesiastes, which said this, and if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it will lie. And he said, when my friend read me those words, my entire life changed. Those words. That is the verse that God used to grab his heart and hold on. That in the moment when these verses, when a tree falls down, there it stays. Not particularly profound wisdom. I think probably something we could all have come to a point of understanding. But in this moment, the Holy Spirit grabs onto his life and says, this is exactly what you needed to hear. In this moment, this is the verse that's going to shape and change your life from this day forward. God grabbed his heart with this verse and would never let him go. He would say that in this moment, God gave him this picture of him being this dead tree that has fallen down, and there's nothing that he can do about it. He's a dead tree laying on the ground. The only thing that can change his situation, can change who he is, can change his destiny, is God coming into his life and resurrecting this tree back to life, giving him a new life. That's the power of the Holy Spirit at work. That this in this moment, this seemingly innocuous verse that I'm sure millions and probably billions of people have read and just sped past and never given that much thought. But sometimes the Holy Spirit breathes on these scriptures. Sometimes the Holy Spirit illuminates these scriptures in a way where all of a sudden we're saying to each other, look at this verse, isn't this amazing? Where a tree falls, it stays there. Yeah, but for him, this was a life-changing, life-altering moment. The Holy Spirit had searched out the scripture and had pinpointed the one that would show him everything he needed to know. It wasn't just words on a page, but the Holy Spirit illuminated it for him, and the Holy Spirit illuminates things for us. And when that happens, things change. The power of the Holy Spirit allows Scripture to be applicable to our lives. For the very words of Scripture to speak to our hearts, to our lives, and to our very specific situations. There's a handful of times in my life that I can point to where I can say, there was a scripture that changed the way I thought, that changed the way I saw, that changed what I was going to do with my life. One such time in my life, one of these very powerful life-shaping moments for me, was in 2001. I was on the road to becoming the new youth leader, youth pastor here at our church. But I wasn't sure that it was something that I wanted. I felt really insecure about it. I felt really inadequate about it. I felt like I don't know that I can bring and I can be everything that I need for this to be. I was 19 years old at the time. I felt really young. I felt really immature. I felt really inexperienced. Many of the kids who were in the youth group at the time, I had been in youth with them. And so it can be difficult to pastor your peers, especially at a young age. And I was feeling woefully inadequate, but I knew it was coming. I knew I was going to be asked, and I knew what I needed to say, and I knew what I wanted to say. I knew I needed to say yes, because I knew I had been called to ministry even at this point for years and years and years in my life. I knew it, but I knew that I didn't want to say yes. And so I went out of my way to try and be put in a situation where I would never have to be asked the question. I knew it would be Pastor Barry and Audrey who would sit me down and say, I've got to talk to you about something. So I did everything in my power to make sure that I would never be alone with Pastor Barry and Audrey. At the time, they were our young adults leaders. And I thought, well, I need to not be ever be early for young adults. In fact, I need to make sure I'm late. And so I was intentionally late every single week for young adults so that I wouldn't be there. I was later than Joe, if that gives you an example of how late I was. But I would intentionally, young adults starts at 7, I would show up at 7:45, 8 o'clock, thinking like, there's no way I'll be late, or I'll be there and nobody else will be there. It's a foolproof plan. Until one day, nobody else showed up for young adults. And so I came to the door and Pastor, oh, you're here. Oh, nobody else is here. Oh, well, that's okay. I'll let you and Audrey have a nice night. We'll say, no, why don't you come on in? No, I'm good. I don't need to come in. No, come on in. All right. So we sat down. We've got something we'd like to talk to you about. No chit-chat. No, just cut right to the point. All right, we're going to deal with this right now. We think you're the one to lead our youth group. And I didn't know what to say. I felt that my insecurity, my fear, my worry was all still there. It wasn't like in a moment God took it all away. And I knew what to do. And the only thing I could tell Pastor Barry was, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. Well, actually, I probably didn't say, I'll pray about it. Because you have to be careful to say, I'll pray about it, when you know what God's going to say. I'm going to pray about it. No, actually, I'm not going to pray about it. I'll think about it. Because I can't take the chance that I'm going to pray about this and God's going to convict me. So I'll just think about it. But I went home that night and I remember sitting on the side of my bed. I can picture it in my mind where I was sitting and all of that. And I said to God, I don't know what to do. I know I think you've called me, but I need to know that you're in this. I need to know that you've got something to help me do this. And I sat down on my bed and I thought, I don't even know where to turn. And so what I thought is, I'm just going to open my Bible, and wherever it opens to, I'm just going to start reading at the beginning of that book. I wasn't just going to say, I'm just going to open my point and go. I thought, well, no, I'll open my Bible, and I'll start reading at the beginning of whatever book that is, and I'm going to trust that God would speak to me at some point during that book. Now, I made the mistake of opening my Bible towards the middle. And the middle isn't always the most fun place in the Bible. And I opened my Bible to the book of Jeremiah. That's a long book. And I thought, oh, shoot, what have I said? I hope it's not at the end. God, speak to me at the beginning. Because this is a long book. And I don't want to sit through all of this. It's late and I got to go to bed. But I sat down and I began to read through the book of Jeremiah. And God spoke to me right at the beginning. And at Jeremiah, at the very beginning of chapter 1, verse 6, Jeremiah says, "And then I said to the Lord, Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." And I thought, this guy gets it. He understands. I don't know how this book is so long, because this is the right thing to say. He's going to say, God, I'm too young. And God's going to say, you know what, you're right. I need another guy named Jeremiah. And that must be how the story continues. Because I'm with this guy. I am right with it. We are tracking together. I am too young. I can't do this. I'm not equipped for it. And then in this moment, as I sat on the edge of my bed, I read the Lord say this to Jeremiah. But the Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them. For I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." There are all kinds of places, all kinds of moments in Scripture that God could have led me to. But in that moment, as I prayed, God, would you speak to me? God led me here. And it was this conversation that God was having with Jeremiah. At no point was my name ever even brought up. Well, what about Brad? That never came up during their conversation. Other people had read this verse. Other people have probably been deeply and immensely impacted by this verse. But for me, that night, in that moment on the side of my bed, I knew that the Holy Spirit was speaking to me through this passage. As I read this, I knew that even though I was not a part of this, I am a part of this. And the Holy Spirit illuminated this passage for me, and it changed my life. I wouldn't be here now if the Holy Spirit hadn't been there then. And we discover that there are these moments in our lives where the Holy Spirit shines a light and it changes our story. It changes our narrative. It changes who we are and where we're going. And we discover that God has always had a plan and God will always have a plan. It's the Holy Spirit that takes what's in here and makes it come alive in here. It's the Holy Spirit that takes the Word of God, which is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and causes it to cut through our lives, and causes it to cut through our hearts. Scripture will say, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correcting, and for training in righteousness. Everything that you need for life and for godliness is contained in Scripture. Everything that you need. But it's the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word of God that makes the difference. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit and have Him speak to us through the Word of God. As believers, we've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit as our teacher, our helper, our friend, and our seal for the promise of the inheritance of the eternal life with God. His presence, guidance, and wisdom in our lives are our greatest gifts while here on earth. Jesus will say they are to our advantage. Through Him, we have access to direct connection with our Heavenly Father. Through Him, we receive the spiritual gifts that empower us. And through Him, we are able to bear the incredible fruit of abundant life. We have in the Holy Spirit the same teacher who faithfully breathed the perfect and practical words of Scripture to imperfect men across thousands of years. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Not only did the Holy Spirit teach the disciples, but He wants to teach us. He wants to reveal to us the depths of God so that we might learn what it is to be a true follower of Jesus. He longs to show us the wisdom of God so that we might live as men and women inspired by God rather than the fools who find their knowledge only in the matters of this world. As we open our minds and our hearts to receive this wisdom from God, God speaks to us through His Word, and we discover that everything that we need to know from God, everything that we have, we can discover inside the pages of Scripture. Receiving the teaching of the Holy Spirit is as simple as submitting our lives to Him one day at a time and making time to listen to Him and study the Word with Him. As important and helpful as it is, hopefully they are, we don't have to be a pastor, a minister, a theologian, or a scholar to understand what the Bible has to say to us. The Holy Spirit will be our teacher the same way He was the teacher for the disciples. There was no moment where Jesus sent them to Bible college. There was no moment where they were just empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand up and preach and discover that there was a wealth of knowledge, a wealth of Scripture, a wealth of information inside them that came from the Holy Spirit. It's incredibly important that we make time to study Scripture. It is crucial to our walk with the Lord that we spend time in the Word of God. We cannot grow, and in fact, all we can do is shrink if we're not spending time in the Lord, or in the Word. It is absolutely crucial that we spend time. But it's just as important that we read the Bible along with the Spirit instead of apart from Him. It's important that we don't just read the Bible, but it's important that we take time, we say, God, speak to me through your word. God, show me, that we read the Bible with God, not just to please God. The Bible is a practical book meant to impact the lives who read it under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Scripture is meant to guide us into direct communication with our Heavenly Father, not to substitute real direct relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit wants to be your teacher today, wants to illuminate the Word of God for you today. The questions for us today is, are we willing to be His students? Are we willing to submit our understanding to the Holy Spirit and live in light of His teachings? Are we willing to appear foolish at times when we don't understand the wisdom of God? And are we willing to wholeheartedly, for the pleasure of your Heavenly Father, place that over the fleeting opinions of man? If you'll open your heart to being taught by the Holy Spirit, you will discover a wealth of truth that has the power to set you free from the bonds and burdens of this world. Scripture will begin to change your life as the Holy Spirit reveals to you how these words written thousands of years ago are directly applicable to your life today.
You hovered over the waters.
Thank you so much for listening today. We pray that you were challenged and encouraged from our message today. If you would like to speak to a member of our pastoral team at Cornerstone Airdrie, you can go to our website, cornerstonefoursquarechurch.com. Click on the Airdrie tab, and then on the About section, click on Our Staff, and we'd love to hear from you. Make sure to connect with us on social media, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/cornerstoneairdrie, and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram, at CS Airdrie on Twitter, and at Cornerstone Airdrie on Instagram. If you enjoyed the podcast today, be sure to subscribe and get new content delivered right to your device through iTunes. And if you're able to, we would really appreciate it if you could rate and review us on iTunes. I know that sounds like an odd request, but the more that people do that, the easier iTunes makes it for others to find us. At Cornerstone Airdrie, we are a family not by blood, but a family that's been bought by blood. As family we go.
Your voice like many waters brings peace to my soul. The God of glory thunders, signs and wonders down below. Oh, come and move, we make room for you, we stand. Come and move, we make room.
stand in awe of all you do. Oh, come and move. We make room for you. Our one desire is to be with you.